بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. نشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله، اما بعد. يا أيها الذين آمنوا، يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، من يطيع الرسول فقد أطاع الله. صدق الله العظيم. Brothers and sisters in Islam, you cannot imagine how thankful I am this day for our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of ourselves. Whomever Allah guides is guided aright, and whomever Allah allows to be misguided, no one can guide them. We ask Allah the Almighty to give His blessings to His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions, all of them. Ameen. Brothers and sisters, you know, almost every day I learn something more about our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that makes me sure he is the messenger of Allah and guided by Allah in everything that he did. This man, the messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, was such a perfect example for us. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة. Perfect example. This man was very gentle, very merciful. I mentioned last week, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah sent him only as a mercy for all of the world. I used to think that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam did things because of his extreme mercy. And I used to think that it was his mercy and his compassion for the people that motivated him to do the things that he has done. While it is true he was very merciful, very compassionate, but today I have a different opinion about what drove the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam to do the things that he has done. What I like to do today, brothers and sisters, is to share with you a tool to help you make decisions in your life. Many of us make wrong decisions about so many things. And I believe that we make these wrong decisions because we don't have a guiding principle in our minds to help us to make decisions, so therefore some of the decisions that we make are sporadic. And I'm here to tell you today that I found in the Messenger of Allah a tremendous consistency in everything that he did. And that consistency is not, in my estimation, as I've come to learn, not because of his rahmah, his mercy, or his compassion for the people, but rather a body of knowledge that he drew from
that made him consistent in everything that he did. And I'd like to give a few examples today to show you how the Prophet ﷺ responded to issues differently from the Sahaba. Because they weren't drawing from the same body of knowledge. You say, Imam, they were drawing from Quran. Yes. They were drawing from the laws of Quran. Yes. They were drawing from Sunnah. Yes. But yet there's something more that the Prophet drew from. He drew from a principle that superseded law. I hope that you listen today, brother and sister. You know, I want to teach something. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Jesus, came to Bani Israel. They followed the Torah. They followed the law. But Isa alayhi salatu wasalam saw something in their following the law, a certain rigidity. Rigid. So Jesus, alayhi salatu wasalam, and Isa had to teach them more than the law. He had to teach them a principle that superseded law. You can't find no human being more just than the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And even though you can't find people more just than the Messenger, you will find out that the Messenger of Allah was not always equitable or equal in the things that he did. Because in Islam, justice doesn't mean equality. You will find out that sometimes being equal, you will be unjust. So Islam doesn't teach equality, Islam teaches justice. If Islam taught justice or equality, that means inheritance, a man would have what a woman has, but it's not true. A man has twice the inheritance of a woman, because that's not equal, but it's just. Allah is al-adl, Allah is just, but yet Allah doesn't treat everything equal. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. Hogwash. Everybody is not created equal. We are not equal. And so America trying to put the black man on the level of people who have freedom, true freedom and justice, and make the law equal, thereby being unjust to majority of people who have been subjected to racism, institutionalized racism. I wish I had time today to really get into this subject. But justice doesn't mean equality. Justice is higher than equality. And I'm going to give you some examples today to understand what is it that motivated the Prophet. Law is rigid. Every Muslim man knows that it is prohibited for men to wear silk. You can't wear silk because the Prophet said, he who wears silk in this life, he who wears silk in this life, don't wear it in the next life. He said he prohibited gold and silver to his ummah except the women. Women can wear gold, women can wear silk, not men. That's the law. But there's a principle higher than the law. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave permission to Az-Zubair and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, they wore silk. So the law, the principle by which the Prophet gave permission, Rakasa, Zubir, and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, the principle that the Prophet used to give them right to wear silk when no one else could wear it was based on a principle that supersedes law. What principle? They had a skin condition. They called it hikka. Hikka is an itching. So the Prophet gave them permission to wear silk. Did that violate the law? No. That principle superseded the law. Every Muslim knows that the law is you can't eat khanzir. That's the law. But the principle is you can't die. So if you're starving to death, you could not eat the swine. You must eat it to save your life because the principle is higher than the law that prohibits swine. The principle of life is higher than that. Law is rigid. Principles are flexible. You can't eat blood, as the Quran says, against the law. But you must have a transfusion to save your life. So you get the transfusion ordinarily against the law, but the principle is higher than the law. And if you're a foolish young man, then you don't understand the principle. You will go to Mecca and Medina and live there for years. You go to Saudi Arabia and live there for years. And then come to America and try to make the people in America like what you see in Arabia. And you are violating a basic principle. Will make the people rebel because they don't want to be that. They don't want to be Arab. They want to be themselves. What are they? Don't go to Pakistan and come here and bring the vision of Pakistan here and impose that on the people. It won't work. Don't go to Nigeria. Don't go to synagogue. Don't go to anywhere on the earth and try to impose the culture of a people on another people. It doesn't work. And this is why a lot of our people run from the Muslims, because they don't understand where we're coming from, because we don't understand the principle. Oh, brother says, I wish you'd listen, because I'm going to try to teach you today. I saw a brother in one of the inner cities. He had a gutra. You know what gutra is? You go to Saudi Arabia and you have that and that little thing on. It's called gutra. Look straight out of Saudi Arabia. It's okay. But when the people see you, they're confused. What? Now, brothers and sisters, inshallah, let me get on my subject. I want to first remind you, inshallah, that today is the 21st of Sha'ban. Alhamdulillah, we are moving into the month of fasting, inshallah, next month. Next Saturday night, the major communities around America will be looking for the halal of Ramadan. That means, inshallah, the first of Ramadan will be next Sunday. Inshallah, the day we begin fasting, inshallah, will be next Sunday. If the halal is spotted Saturday night, that means that Sunday we'll be fasting. If it's not sighted Saturday night, that means Monday is the first day of fasting. Definitely by next Monday, everyone will be fasting. Inshallah, maybe Sunday. Now, I said to you that the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, was consistent in all the things that he did. And I chose a few examples from history to teach a very basic lesson. The title of today's khutbah is The Big Picture. We as Muslims need to look at the big picture. And so many of us are caught up and we make mistakes because we look at the little picture and we look at the immediate rather than long range. And I'm telling you here that everything that I noticed about the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he looked at the big picture. And because he looked at the big picture, he was able to overlook things immediately in front of him. And if you're not looking at the big picture, you're going to respond to every little thing that happens in your life. A husband and wife will be on the street, and they have an argument. Husbands and wives argue. I don't know one Muslim who doesn't argue with his wife. Maybe there's one of you here. I don't know. I haven't met you yet. So please, when the football's over, introduce yourself to me. You're going to argue. You're going to differ. But don't argue in the street. Now, you and the wife are arguing. One of you is right. So you start yelling at each other. But you're wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. And so you're arguing, tussling in the street. If you're concerned about the big picture, you know people looking at you. You got a kimono on, sister. You got a long dress on, brother. You got a thobe on. You got a poofy. You got a beard. You look like a Muslim. And so now the people are judging Islam by your conduct. Because you're trying to be right. Each one of you trying to be right, but you're missing the big picture. Sometimes Muslims get an altercation with people in the street. And because we want to win, we forget the big picture. And we do things that cause us to suffer. And the ramifications of the things we do hurt us in the long run because we are unable to look at the big picture. Now, a couple of instances. Number one, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn As-Salu, perfect example. Here's a man who slandered the wife of the Messenger of Allah, Aisha radiallahu anha. He slandered her. Accused her of zina. Accused of adultery. Big slander. And he died a munafiq. He died as a munafiq. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn As-Salu, he died a munafiq. Slandered the wife of the Messenger of Allah. Now let me stop for a moment. Now, many of you had in your life someone talk against you. Didn't you? You don't like it. It's a horrible feeling when people talk against you. People make up things against you. You don't like it. You feel bad. Can you imagine someone speaking against your wife, accusing your wife of such a horrible thing as zina? Yet this man accused falsely the Messenger of Allah's wife, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha radiallahu anha. Now, he died. And his son, Abdullah ibn Abdullah, came and asked the Messenger of Allah for his thawb, his qamis. Why? To shroud the body of Abdullah ibn Ubay. Now, how would you respond, man? You better get out of my face. Man, you crazy. That man, that monastic, that hypocrite, he slandered my wife, get out of my face. Not the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wa sallam. He gave him his qamis. Stop. Why did the Prophet make that decision? His decision was based on a principle. Umar radiallahu anhu, he had a different opinion. فَأَكَفَى بِثَوْبِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ He grabbed the Messenger by the thobe when the Prophet was going to make salat over Abdullah ibn Ubay. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet stood up to do what? To lead the people in Salat al-Janazah over Abdullah ibn Ubay. Umar stopped him. Why are you stopping him? Because Umar has something in his mind. What does he have in his mind? He has the Quran in his mind. Umar had the Quran in his mind. Umar wasn't moving on feelings. He was moving on a knowledge base of the Quran. And he said to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, atusalli ala ibn Ubay, wa qada qala kaza wa kaza wa kaza, do you make salat over this man? And he said this, and he said that, and he said that. And then Umar said, radiallahu anha, he quoted this ayat, Surah Tawbah. This is what Umar said. Istaghfirakum. Awlaj. إِنْ تَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّاتٍ Ask for their forgiveness or ask them not. Allah is speaking to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you ask 70 times for their forgiveness, I will not forgive them. This is what Allah said in the Quran. It was revealed, it was there in the Quran. So Umar is saying, yet when Allah had this in the Quran, Umar is coming from Quran. What is the Prophet coming from? His heart, sentiment? No. I'm going to tell you what he's coming from. He's coming from an understanding of the Quran. Then he said, Ya Umar! He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Quritu meaning that Allah has given me a choice. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam understood this ayah that Allah gave him a choice. You can ask forgiveness, that's what it said literally. You can ask or you cannot ask forgiveness. That's literally what the ayah said. You can ask for forgiveness or not ask forgiveness. If you ask forgiveness 70 times, Allah said, I will not forgive him. The Prophet said, I will ask more than 70 times. I'm not asking 70 times. I know what my Lord said. I'm not asking 70 times. I'm asking more than 70 times. Allah gave me the choice. It was to understand. Why did the Prophet have that understanding? Because in the power of his, in his brain, he had his mission always in front of everything. His mission. He wanted to affect Abdullah ibn Ubay is dead, but his son is alive. Maybe if I do this, I'll draw his son close to me. Maybe those who followed Abdullah ibn Ubay, if I did this, maybe now they will come close to Islam and they will be saved. He's coming from a body of knowledge. So the Prophet did Salatul Janazah over Abdullah ibn Ubay. And then, after that, Allah reveals the ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask for forgiveness for munafiq when they die in that condition and made it haram to stand at their grave. Only then. That means that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salam was right when he did it until Allah sent the ayah. In his understanding. The Prophet والسلام, before he made a move, he thought about the implications and he saw the bigger picture. And I ask this community, before you make a move in this street, in your house, in your apartment, think about the bigger picture. والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى صحبه أجمعين أما بعد Brothers and sisters, around the city
and around the country, Muslims are differing with each other, bickering, arguing. And a lot of times the difference is not that one Muslim follows the Quran and the other doesn't. But the difference sometimes is because of the difference in the interpretation of the ayat and the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And sometimes the difference is not necessarily in the interpretation of the ayat, but in the application of the ayat. So therefore, wise people don't try to accelerate the differences. They tolerate the differences. When they see the other Muslim have a desire and a zeal to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger, even though they may have a different interpretation because of the principle that's guiding them. And therefore, one person who has in his mind a principle guiding them will oftentimes react differently. Now, I'm going to drop something on you heavy right now. This deen is so heavy that it's possible to disobey the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly and not be wrong. And I'm going to give you two examples. I'm going to give you two examples where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a direct order to his Sahaba, to great Sahaba, and they disobeyed him, and yet they were not wrong in their disobedience of him because of a principle that they had. What principle? You will find that Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'een, had a tremendous respect for the Messenger of Allah. Tremendous respect. So much so, their respect was so profound that an incident, I can give Bilal, radiallahu anhu, told Abu Bakr, it was time for Salah, and the Prophet wasallam wasn't around, and Bilal told Abu Bakr, you should leave the Salat. He said, okay, if you wish. So Abu Bakr goes to leave Salat. Allahu Akbar! And when he began the Salat, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, came and made his way to the front of the line. And when the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, came to the front of the line, the men started clapping their hands, something wrong. Abu Bakr never used to move his head in Salat, but that time they clapped so much, he turned around, and when he saw the Messenger of Allah, he said, Alhamdulillah, and he was about to leave the Salat, and the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, beckoned him to stay in your place and continue to pray. An order, Abu Bakr, left and got in the rank with everyone else. And the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, continued and led the Salat. A direct order, ordered to lead the Salat, stay there. But Abu Bakr didn't. He got back in the line. Why? And the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, being a prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, every time something is done wrong in his presence, he has to correct it. So when the Salat was finished, he started the correction. Number one, it's not permissible for the men to clap. That's for the women. If there's something in the Salat, say subhanAllah. And the one leading the Salat will learn, listen to you and find out what the reason is. So don't clap, though the Prophet corrected the first point. Number two, Abu Bakr, why didn't you pray? Continue pray when I ordered you to do it, huh? I ordered you. Why didn't you? Yes, Abu Bakr refused. He disobeyed the direct commandment of the Prophet. Why didn't you? And the Prophet, Abu Bakr, said, it's not fitting that the son of this man should lead with the presence of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How can someone lead the prayer and the Messenger of Allah is in the line? How can you do it? No Muslim would do that. And even though the Prophet said, don't do it, he did it. Why? Because of the principle of respect
that they had for the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Principle. Law, principle. Number two, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Read it. I don't have to go through the history of it. Read the history of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. All of the conditions were laid, unjust conditions were laid on the Messenger of Allah and the Muslims. I'm not going to go through that. I'm going to go through one part. The Prophet wrote, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Muhammad the Messenger of Allah. And the Quraysh said, if we believe that you are the Messenger of Allah, we will invite you. So you got to cross that out. You got to cross Rasulullah out. And the Prophet said, Ana Rasulullah wa ana Muhammad ibn Abdullah. I am the Messenger of Allah and I am Abdullah. I am Muhammad the son of Abdullah. So he said, Ali, cross off Rasulullah. Direct commandment. Erase the name Rasulullah. Ali said, no! I will not erase the name of the Messenger of Allah. A direct order. Ali disobeyed. Why? Respect for the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would not dare erase Rasulullah, even though the Prophet said do it. And the Prophet didn't condemn Ali. What did the Prophet do? He erased it with his own hand. He erased Rasulullah. Why did the Prophet do that? Because the Prophet ﷺ had a higher principle in his mind. He was thinking to get everybody to the deen. And finally, I close with this. Aisha radiallahu anha asked her husband, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, هل أتى عليك يوم أشد من يوم أحد? Has there ever been a day more difficult for you, Prophet, O Messenger of Allah, than the day of the Battle of Uhud? And I want you to always remember that Uhud was a terrible time for the Muslims. A lot of Muslims lost their lives. The Prophet was bloody. His helmet was knocked off, hit in the head. He was bleeding profusely. His tooth was knocked out. They did this to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the Battle of Uhud. And Aisha, his wife, radiallahu anha, said, was there a day more difficult than that? He said, yes. And he explained the day of Aqaba, when his people turned him out. They threw things on him. They threw dung on him. They threw stones at him. He was dejected. And at that moment, who comes? Malikul Jibal, the angels of the mountains. Coming to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Sami Allah, Allah heard the word, Halal Kaumika. He heard the words of your people and what they do to you. Tell me, I come litamurahni, for you to order me, ma shitta, whatever you desire. Here's a chance now. Revenge. Can I be honest with you, brothers and sisters? I'm going to be for real. I've seen times in this society where somebody in authority, like police, do something abusive. That's how Allah gets him. Ya Allah! Ya Rabb! Allah, get him for what they're doing to the people. Get them! Revenge! I felt like that. I'm honest with you. I felt that way. I wonder how you have felt when you've been oppressed by people. People oppress you. And if you had the power, what you would do? Get your revenge. I hate these people, what they do. I want to get them back. Here was the perfect time. Malikul Jibal. Here it is. Sanctions from Allah. Angels ready to fall down the mountains on them. And the angel asks, want me? And listen to the response and then I close. He says, Bal, no. Arju an yukhrij Allah min aslabihim man ya'budu Allah wahdahu
la yusliku bihi shaykh. That from their offspring will come those who would worship Allah and not associate any God with him. What was the Prophet doing? Long range. If he were just dealing with the people in front of him, he would have gotten revenge. But even though these people were wicked, maybe from their offspring, arju and yukhrij Allah min asladihim. And listen to what he said. Hal arju, 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 I hope. Did he know? What did he have? Hope. Arju and yukhrij Allah min asladihim. I hope that Allah will bring from their loins someone who would worship Allah without associating anything with him. Why did the Prophet not order the angels to throw down rocks because of his rahmat? Because he's looking at the big picture. I exhort you, brothers and sisters, look at the big picture. When I, as the Imam of this community, tell you, brothers, don't go there. Obey the Imam. Why? He's the Imam. And if everyone does what they want to do, we have chaos. We got cases involving the police because the brother wouldn't obey authority here because they took it upon themselves to make a move without the sanction and the order of those in authority. You have to trust those in authority. Challenge them when they're wrong, yes. But you know what? You've got to deal with principle. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, principle supersedes law. If you understand the principle and it's consistent with the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Finally, I say this. I've gone all around the world and I warned the Muslims, especially in America and the UK. You got to be careful. Now, I'm going to say something and you want to think I'm crazy. And maybe you all want to say, Imam Siraj, we're going to get rid of you because you've gone too far. Listen to me. It is Salman Rushdie. You know him. Salman Rushdie. He wrote the book, Satanic Verses. If he come into this masjid and sit down here, I don't want none of you to touch him. I expect that no one would harm him. Don't harm him. Nah! He said that about the messenger. We don't kill him. Don't kill him. Why? If you kill him, then forever this masjid will be known as the killer masjid. And they will always put you on the media that these are the murderers. And you can never do your work of da'wah. You have to be wise and not emotional. If you study the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, study all the hadith. When a person, the Prophet gave one and didn't give the other. The one man said, Iddal ya Rasulullah, say Allah, be just. Be just. What did Umar say? He took out a sword. Let me chop off his head. Why? How dare you disrespect the Messenger of Allah? Umar is right, but Prophet stopped Umar. How many times did the Prophet stop Umar, stop Khalid ibn Walid when they wanted to chop off their head? Why? Because they were responding to something immediate. They were right because of the respect that they had for the Prophet. How dare you? They were right. So the Prophet, he's one in charge, don't do it. No. And when the Prophet said no, they put their sword away. Why? Because the Prophet has the big picture in his mind. Bigger picture. And brothers and sisters, turn away from the little petty little pictures that we have. And I say this, I make dua for all of the imams who guide the people. I ask Allah to guide them because of the Imam's sincerity. He can hurt the people because he doesn't understand the bigger picture. And he can find people and will run people away from the deen because of the big picture. And they have in their mind a little picture of another city in another country in a different time. This is why Allah in His infinite wisdom did not send the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam away to
study for years and then bring him back. Because if he had sent him away to study away for years, he would come back and lost touch with the people. His knowledge would be right, but the principle, the governor, would be wrong. So Law raised him up right there. Taught him verse by verse right there. And when Allah gave him a revelation, he gave it to the people. And they all grew together. Allah gave him another revelation, he gave it to the people. So this is Allah's sunnah. He raises the prophet right there. So gradually, he can teach the people so that the people won't run away looking at something foreign. Wisdom. Allah gave the Prophet Al-Quran wal-Hikmah. Wisdom. Understand. His deen is deep. His Quran is deep. The Sunnah is deep. Most people on the surface.
He was right there.
Oh, shut up, bro. You haven't got a clue what it says.
This deen is deep.
Wallahi. This deen is great. And it's easy. It's easy. And he always have that in his mind. It's easy. He want to bring it. He want to get everybody. So easy. Slowly. Give it a little bit. Bring it up. Get strong. Get stronger. Give it a little bit more. Keep going. And then you have the best ummah in the world. Because the Prophet is guiding them without extreme. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us our sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the sins of the imams, the a'immah, the leaders, all of them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the leaders. Guide them. Guide them with the knowledge of Quran and Sunnah. Guide them with understanding. Guide them with the principles of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tie the heart of the leaders together that they may become, lead the people to one ummah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the followers of the leaders, to help to keep the leaders straight, to guide the leaders, to remind the leaders from Quran and Sunnah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the men and the women strong enough to help the imams, hold back the hands when the imams are wrong and unjust. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us give them knowledge and give them understanding, give them hikmah, make them to love the Quran, make them to love the Sunnah. Make them to love the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all the Muslims everywhere. Oh Allah, you know our weakness. Weaknesses that we face around the world and all the troubles. Please Allah, help us. Make us strong. Oh Allah, we make a special dua for the city of Jerusalem. We ask you, Allah, to help us, the Muslims, not only in Palestine, but all over the world, to liberate Jerusalem. Liberate our masjid. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen the Muslim leaders everywhere, all over the earth, that they do jihad, fi sabilillah, to liberate the land of the Muslims. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us strong enough to liberate the land in Kashmir. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help the Muslims, even now in Afghanistan. Make them strong. Make them establish an Islamic state. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help the Muslims in Sudan. Make the Sudan strong. Make the Sudan independent. Make the Sudan God-fearing leaders and God-fearing people. They may be examples for the people. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help the Muslims in Syria. Make them to be strong. Help the Muslims in Iraq. Help them to eat. Help them to get rid of the diseases. Help them to bring to them strong, good, moral leadership. And get rid of the bad, corrupt leadership. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the leaders in Mecca and Medina. Make them strong, make them firm, make them be good examples for the Muslims around the world. Ya Allah, help the Muslims everywhere. Help the Muslims in Nigeria, in Senegal, in Niger, in everywhere, in Trinidad and Tobago, in Puerto Rico. Everywhere there's Muslims in Europe and in America. Help us and guide us. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala azwaji Muhammad wa zuriyati Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taslima kathira. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Rabbana la tu'akhidna in nasina wa akhtana. Rabbana wa la tahmil alayna isran kama hamaltu alladhina min qablina. Rabbana wa la tuhammilna ma la taqata lana bi. Wa'fu anna waghfir lana warhamna wa anta mawlana fansurna 'ala al-qawmi al-kafirin. Walhamdulillah.
Thank you.